We have to get this down, and then we'll take us into tomorrow. So we saw that there is this machlokis in the Mishnah, two-part machlokis in the Mishnah, and it's very abrupt because it doesn't flow unless you read the Gemara, and the Gemara tells you what's going on. But in the Mishnah, we have machlokis Belezer and Chachamim, that according to Belezer, you have to have 14 sudos in the sukkah. And Chachamim say, no, Eile Dover Kitzvah, whatever you do, that's fine. And the Gemara relates these issues to the question of whether we say Teshu Kein Taduru tells us something about a standard schedule of one meal at daytime, one meal at nighttime, and therefore that has to be transferred into the sukkah. Or should we say, no, Teshu Kein Taduru means you do what you want. So in your house, you could choose to eat or not eat. So too, in the Suda, you could choose to eat or not eat. Then, there's this very abrupt shift to another machlokes about whether there is tashlumin, that if you don't eat the first night, can you make it up on Shmini Atzeres? Rabbi Elazar says yes, and Chamim says no. And it's very abrupt, because what's making up the first meal? According to Elazar, you have 14 meals. So the Gemara explains ultimately that, no, Rabbi Elazar changed his mind in the middle of the Mishnah. And what did he change his mind to? You've seen by now that this is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosis. So to appreciate the significance of some of this machlokas, so we have to consider still the other part of the story. So the Rishonim raised the question, what is the whole significance here of obligating a meal in the sukkah? It's yontif anyway. So if it's yontif anyway, so then you're going to have to eat. And if you have to eat, so then you have to eat in the sukkah. So the question could come from two angles. One is, it how is it that the first night is enough? Don't you have an obligation beyond that? And secondly, let's just focus on the first night. But what do I need the obligation of eating in the sukkah on the first night for if yontif is already mechayiv me? And how do we know there's an obligation on the first night? Because of the gzeirah shava. So that tells us, just like the first night of Pesach is an obligation, so too the first night of sukkahs. So if you have such an obligation, what does that add to yontif? Already yontif you have to eat, and you're going to have to do that in the sukkah, so what are we accomplishing? So, yes, sir, Daniel.
Two things.
Yes.
The Gemara, the conclusion seems to be that you're allowed to make up the meal with unit argument wherever they are.
The tashlumin, right.
Yeah. And they're definitely not bread.
Right.
So, based on that, couldn't we still hold Rabbi Elazar holds that you couldn't have, you would still have 14 meals? As in, like, the Gemara didn't need to say that answer. Because once you can make up the unit argument, you could just have that with your meals throughout the holiday, and that any of them would be a valid tashlumin.
Well, the question is not so much about the tashlumin. The question is about why are we making up just that? Like, that phrase all sounds like this is one opportunity that you lost that you have to make up. Although Tosis maybe is going to give you a different range of possibilities for it. But once the Gemara already says he went back, so Tosis is going to address that in a second. What exactly was the reversal of Rabbi Elazar? Because it affects that question. It affects the question of what tashlumin means, as we'll see in a moment. But just this issue, which seems like it's a different issue, but it's going to affect how this plays out. So what's the need for an extra obligation to eat on Sukkot night? Is yontif anyway? So the Rishonim have different approaches, right? What are some of the approaches? So Tosfos on our page says that it must be that the chiyuv to eat on Sukkot, the chiyuv to eat on yontif, that the Gemara and Brachos on Daf Memtes says is clearly there, because otherwise you wouldn't have to repeat Yalav Yavo if you forgot it. That chiyuv is only about the first night, which only addresses one of our questions. Only addresses the question of why don't we have an obligation to eat in the sukkah all of yontif. Tosfos and Brachos though says something different. What does Tosfos and Brachos say? Right. What does Tosfos and Brachos say? Then what's the? Sorry. Right, so therefore that's an afkamina of his position, which is what? That it's not the sukkah that requires the meal on yontif. That on yontif you could have the meal without the sukkah. yes, technically you will need a sukkah because of the requirement of going in a sukkah, but that might not be relevant. Maybe it's raining. If it's raining, then you're not going to have to go out in the sukkah, but you could still be yotze the mitzvah of yotzev. So that, according to that Tosfos, what emerges, and just focus on this part, keep this point in your mind for a moment. According to Tosfos, the whole chiddush of this extra din of requiring meals is requiring meals al sukkah. Because you need to do the meal in the sukkah, that's what we're being taught here. As far as Yantif is concerned, yes, we would have known that already. Yantif already would have required us to have a meal. But the whole chiddush, essentially, of this Mishnah is to tell us what is necessary from a sukkah perspective. And that that's where Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim apparently are arguing. What does sukkah require? We know Yantif has its requirements. Okay? So now, keep that in mind as we look at this Tosfos. And we'll have to mention there are others and other interpretations of this Mishnah also, which we'll come back to. For example, the Ran. Did anyone see the Ran? We passed the Ran around by word of mouth today, so if anyone got to see that Ran, but we'll come back to that. But we'll come back to other answers to this question of what's the Chiddush of the first night. But just this, that Tosfos and Brachos, that the whole discussion is essentially about the Sukkah obligation, is important, because look at Tosfos here. So you recall Rashi yesterday. Rashi explained, Rabbi Elazar changed his mind. What does it mean he changed his mind? So Rashi said, Eitzel Chachamim Lomer Shil Deber Kitzvah. He agrees with Chachamim. They say that there's no limit. He agrees. Bimrotz L'sanis Tisana, if you want, you confess. Chutz Mil Yantav Arishin, except for the first night. Uvahav Mi Apal Galahiu, but still he has Machlokes, the Kasavi Yesh Tashlum and Kamosh Yesh Tashlum and Karbonis and Rishin Af Yantav Achron. That he does disagree still just about this question of Tashlum. So look at Tosis, Chazar Bar Elazar. So first he quotes these first four lines from Rashi. So we can skip that, we just read that. Kach Perish Bakuntris, this is now the third medium-sized line in Tosis. Velishna the Yashlim, and this language of Yashlim, the Imhishlin, and that phrase as well, Lomash Makla Lashin Tashlumin, Elo Lashin Hashlama Cheshben Shil Yudam Sudas. Right, it doesn't sound like we're talking about tashlumen like we talk about by tefillah or tashlumen by korbanos on yantif, where, okay, you missed it, now make it up. It looks like he's saying that you should finish off the count. Right, so that's, Daniel, goes to your question a little bit. Right? It doesn't necessarily have to mean that there's one slot that you're replacing. It means that you can still assume he has a count of 14 sudos and that he needs to finish it. So if you're going to follow the Tesvav, Gezeir Shav all the way, so that maybe for Matzah also you should have Tashlumin. Ever hear of that? That if you don't get to Matzah, to Seder, you can make it up on the last days of Pesach? So if the chiyuv is really with pas, so how do you make it up with mine targima? It doesn't match. So if you're saying it's a hashlama, if you think it's a tashlumin, so how exactly does that fit? Oh, meuvda petropas shel begripas. That's the story right after this. The mashma delo pater belazer besuda achas. Doesn't seem like Rabbi Elazar holds you're finished with just one suda. Because that's the whole story. The next passage in the Gemara where this individual, Rabbi Shrapashal Agrippa, said to Rabbi Elazar, I don't want to have so many meals. And Rabbi Elazar said back to him, oh, all year round, you're happy to eat because you want to, and now you're not happy to eat for God. So it sounds like we're not talking about one meal. So, l'kach niru l'farish. So therefore, let's explain differently. Chazar bar Rabbi Elazar mimashayim matzrich sukkah. So he changes his mind about the sukkah part. L'olam yudal sudas boy. But still, 14 sudas you still need. If you shall me mashni, Amr of Achal, a mitzvah, Hashuva, Kolom, Lachar, Chilat, Sarech, Lachal, Basoka, Vim, Lachal, Mashlin, Bishmini, below Soka. Alright, then he adds that this Yushalmi also says Soka is Lachar, Chilat, but you can complete it without a Soka. So this is a pretty radical reinterpretation. Right? This is a very significant difference. Because according to what we just said a minute ago from Tosfos and Brachos, working with this Rashi here, that the whole topic of our Machlokes and our Mishnah is what does Suda obligate you in? What does Sukkah obligate you in? What does Sukkah require of you? So, yeah, you need 14 Sudas because of Yantif, or you need more Sudas because of Yantif, but that's not Midinei Sukkah. And the Chiddush of Tesvav, so that'll tell you the first night there's a Din Midinei Sukkah. So what happens when Rabbi Elazar changes his mind? He just changes his mind. He changes his mind pretty significantly to only require the first night. But then he still has the machlokas about if you have tashlumin for that first night. While Tosus is saying something radical. He doesn't change his mind about 14 sudas at all. And the truth is, Tosus's benefit is that, you know, almost like this is close to what I think Daniel was saying, you almost don't need the whole chazara. You almost don't need him to change his mind in the middle. But so you could almost read that you could read the Mishnah much better according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, it's a very radical shift. First, he starts off saying you need 14 sudas, and then we have to make sense of this idea that you can make up your one obligation on the last day. So actually, he changed his mind about the 14 sudas. It's only one. According to Tosfos, he never changed his mind about the 14 sudas. So really, his position flows much better in the Mishnah. You have to have 14 sudas. And by the way, if you can't finish the 14 sudas, you still have the last day to make it up. And so the language is much more fluid. But the Gemara does say he changed his mind, so we still have to change his mind about something. So what did he change his mind about? So that's very significant also, because the language is Arba, according to Belazar, Arba Asrei sudas chayev adam lechol basukkah. Has to be in the sukkah. So the chiddush of his new opinion is, well, okay, it doesn't have to be in the sukkah. But if it doesn't have to be in the sukkah, so then what's the whole discussion here? What's the 14 sudas coming from? They're arguing about Yantif. This mission is not really about sukkah. Daniel, do you have your hand up? Someone? Yeah?
I was wondering, can you explain again how Rashi's understanding, even if like the answer
to
the question that he...
Rashi says he changed his mind about the whole 14 sudas thing.
How does that answer the question of Baltosif that Rashi explains?
It's about Tosa, a separate problem that we also have to figure out.
Is that what defeats him to change his mind?
Possibly, but
I
still.
Mean, according to Rashi himself.
I mean, the previous Rashi.
Yeah.
Right, because you're not sitting in the sukkah.
This is all about Tosa, if Maishon the sukkah, you got.
Right.
So how does his answer of Eliezer changing his mind about 14 meals answer the question of Baal Tosa?
You mean you're saying, even according to him, you're not going to be in the sukkah? So the Baal Tosa comes from the sukkah.
Yeah.
Right, so Mimela, you can't sit in the sukkah to have the meal. So you're still going to have to answer how this is a tashlumen for anything.
Or how it's not Baltosif.
Right, but assuming that the. Right, so that doesn't seem to be addressed at all. So therefore, assuming you're not eating in the sukkah, so if you're not eating in the sukkah, how is it a tashlumen for that first meal no matter what?
Yeah.
Right, so either way, it seems like we're losing the sukkah according to Rabbi Elazar. And if we're losing the sukkah, so then that's a big shift. So what exactly is this Mishnah talking about? Is this all talking about Midinei Yantif? So this all is background for the question that we're going to have to try to examine a little bit. What exactly is the significance of Tesvav? Right, what exactly is this adding to our whole question of how this Yantif operates? Is that a good question?
How can you say that for Tashlumin that you have to have 14 meals, but if you miss the first one, right, you can make it up at the last day? We're saying, like, we usually hold it up, but like, you could have that much time in between. Let's say, like, something that you missed for Tashlumin, like, if you miss, like, Meyer tonight, like, you would say two shots, like, the next day, you would say, like, a week later.
Right, so you would not, and that's an interesting parallel. But when it comes to Yantif, that's the next slot, because it's the beginning of Yantif and the end of Yantif. So it's not totally.
Well, those
aren't considered to be in the same track. And according to Tosfos over here, it's not even that idea at all. It's not comparable to Chlal, because it's not that kind of Tashlumin. It's just a fidget. Like, we have this expression, by the way, and it could be equally confusing there. When you talk about the laws of fasting, you find also the dual usage, because it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, about in Gemara, about being mashlim atinus. So sometimes it means we talk about teshlum for atinus, that if you miss a fast, sometimes you can make it up on a different day. That's teshlum in the other context. And also the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara talks about if somebody is fasting on, let's say, Friday, when normally we try to avoid fasting on Friday because we don't want to come into Shabbos Menuvel. So there you find the language of Lahashlam. So there it means to finish it up until Shabbos. Do we say keep the fast going up until Shabbos? Or do we say, no, you shouldn't be Mashlam, you should break the fast before Shabbos? So here too, Tosfos is saying essentially the two usages are confusing us. So do we mean Tashlam and like make it up later? So how Rashi understands? Or do we mean hashlama, like finishing it up? That he's saying you really have to do 14 sudas, but you can't finish it. So, hi.
Doesn't the fact that the Chachamim in the Mishnah use the word hashlumen imply that the lashon of yashlim is referring to hashlumen?
Maybe. Because their position would be focusing just on that.
What's that?
Because their position would be focusing just on the first night. Saying they are using the word Tashlumin implies that it's a makeup date because they only have the first night. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, it's also the fact that Rabbi Elazar's language also focuses on the first night. Mishlo achal leil yontav harishon yashlum yontav acharon shalachag. So from that perspective, Tosfos is a little bit less fluid, because why is that about 14 sudas then? That's just about the first night. So all of this is the background then to a question of what is the nature of this extra chiyuv of tesvav. Is this about sukkah? Or is this about yontif? And there are many different questions that the achronim have about this. They both pose general chakiras about this question and many nafkaminas. But essentially, to say it in the broadest and simplest way, what is Tesvav telling us? Is it linking Pesach and Sukkot as far as certain Yontif-related practices? Or as far as their specific mitzvos? Is there some kind of kesher between Matzah and Sukkah? Or some type of kesher between Sukkot and Pesach? You follow that? Does it make sense? Now again, if you read the Sfarim, you will find many different versions of this right here. But I think it can safely be generalized in that way. Essentially, what are we linking? We're linking these two headliner mitzvos. Right, Zach, you raised a question yesterday, can we link other mitzvos, like Dal Minim? They have a role, things like that. Which, by the way, is interesting, because Dal Minim does have greater significance first day the rest of the days. So is there some linkage between specific headline mitzvos in these days? Or is the linkage about the Yom Tov? Any question about that?
For the the headline, would it just be like the holiday in itself and not any of the mitzvos that relate to it?
Well, the headline is saying is taking one certain mitzvah and saying this mitzvah is getting special attention. So in the case of Pesach, it would be matzah. In the case of Sukkot, it would be Sukkah. And are we saying that the Sukkah and Matzah are somehow linked? Or are we saying that Sukkos and Pesach are linked? So now to take this to the next stage of how it's asked in some Svarim. Are we saying that these two mitzvos take on an obligatory nature the first day as opposed to the other days? And certain rules that govern that are shared between them? Or are we saying, no, there's just a yontif obligation between the two? In which case, what is that obligation? So what is a basic yontif-themed obligation that we could zero in on that could be applicable both Sukkot and Pesach? What's a mitzvah that's yontif-oriented? It's a function of yontif and has a place in both of these festivals. Daniel? Simchas Yontif. In specifically what? What form of Simchas Yontif? Okay, or so not necessarily Echila, right? See, Basra Yayin confuses the thing a little bit because you're right, that's the more festive part of it. But let's zero one on a Suda, which we're talking about in terms of bread here. So, to eat, to have a Suda on Yontif, maybe that's the nature of this Chiyuv. So maybe Tezvav is telling us that both days, both of these Yom Tovim, at the beginning you have to have a Suda. Now it happens to be that both of these halachos have details that affect how a Suda is going to happen. So if there was a Gzeirah Shavah that brought in Shavuos as well, so that would be very simple. We would know Shavuos, not getting into any milchik shleishis arguments here, but that would mean a meal. Fine, there wouldn't be any other details to figure out about it. But because Pesach and Sukkot both have these added aspects, so it gets a little bit confusing. But what if we were to say that all Tesvav means is that these Yavim Tovim have an obligatory Suda the first time. Now, because on Pesach you can't have bread, so it turns out that there's a Chiyuv Suda on Matzah. And because on Sukkot you have to eat your meals in the Sukkah, so it turns out that the Chiyuv Suda is going to mean eating in the Sukkah. But that's a secondary aspect. It's not really a Chiyuv of Matzah or of Sukkah. It's just a Chiyuv of eating. And those respective Yom Tovim have their constraints, which means it's going to, practically speaking, be Matzah and Sukkah respectively. Follow? Yeah, so basically, again, just to make things clearer, there are many, many chakiros and details that are discussed about this machlokas. It's not just about Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim. It's about the practical questions nowadays for our observance of Sukkot, and especially on the first night. Pesach, it has nafka minas also, but they're a little bit less blatant. It affects, by the way, for example, on Pesach, do you have two matzahs or three? Right, because you see that there's an obligation to eat matzah and an obligation to have a meal, so two for the meal and one for the matzah, or are they all the same thing? So it affects questions like that. But essentially, we could summarize all of the details as coming out of the conceptual questions, and all of the conceptual questions we could say simplest like this. What does Tesvav connect? Right, the Tesvav tunnel, what does it bring together? Does it bring together the Yom Tovim? Or does it bring together two mitzvos? Two star headliner mitzvos of the respective Yom Tovim are linked because of Tesvav. So essentially, if it's about the mitzvos, so then it's saying that Sukkah, there's a chiyuv to eat first night, as opposed to the rest of the yontif, where if you eat, you should eat in the sukkah. And matzah, there's a chiyuv to eat the first night, as opposed to the rest of yontif, where if you want to eat, you have to eat matzah as opposed to bread, but you could skip bread altogether. So that would be if it's a matzah sukkah issue, if it's a mitzvah issue. But if it's about the Yom Tovim, so then you could say that the Torah is telling us there's a mitzvah to have a meal on the first night of these Yom Tovim. And that's what it's about. It's just the mitzvah of Achila. But the mitzvah of Achila, it happens to be that both of these Yom Tovim are going to affect how Achila takes place. Like we said, if it was Shavuos, it would be uncomplicated. But because these Yom Tovim have these significant details, it confuses things a little bit. But really, it's a mitzvah of eating. A mitzvah of eating, which has to be matzah because it can't be bread. A mitzvah of eating, which has to be in sukkah because it can't be outside the sukkah. But theoretically, it's independent of those details. Yisrael.
Doesn't the fact that Shavuos isn't in that make it a little more difficult to say that it's that the Gzeirah Shavah is specifically on the concept of sukkah and not on the specific ways of successfully doing that mitzvah suda?
It is an interesting question. It is definitely something we'd have to figure out on the Tamei HaMitzvos level. That if we always assume that the three regalim are essentially a set, you know, what reason is there to break apart and to exclude shvuos from this? Now, it goes a little bit to the topic we spoke about yesterday, just mentioning the whole issue of gezeirah shavos and how esoteric they are. So we would have said that if I was making up gezeirah shavos rules, this was the last one I ever would have noticed, because it's the date. So why would I think that's significant? It's basic, minimal information about the concept, so I need to be told the date. So what if, this is all speculative in terms of Tamei HaMitzvos, what if the message of the gezeirah shavos, it's not just that the Torah used the same word for both of these Yom Tovim, because it had to use the same word. It's the fact of it being on Tezvav that links them. There's something about the fact that the Yom Tovim are on the 15th that creates the link. So then, that's like the first step of a speculation that maybe it's Midina Yontif, but there's something additional about the 15th of Yontif that requires. Now, if you want to throw in another part to think about, it's not just that Shavuos, its date is not on the 15th, and therefore maybe for that reason it gets a little bit snubbed. But we know that Min HaTorah Shavuos doesn't have a date at all. Right? So A, Shavuos doesn't have a date, and B, whatever date it has is a function of Pesach. So it could be that it's all an extension of Pesach. So for the purpose of dates, if we're focusing on festive dates in the Torah, or the beginning of the process of a festive date, there's not three regalim, there's only two. Because it's only two that have, that A, start on the 15th, and B, have any date at all, and C, Shavuos can piggyback on Pesach because it's counted from Pesach.
So would we then say that the source for Suda on Shavuos is because it's connected to Pesach in that fashion?
I don't know, that's maybe a little farther than we need to go, but just in terms of understanding, like Alpi Tamei HaMitzvos, what is the significance of Tezvav Tezvav, and why are we breaking up the club of the three regalim? So maybe that's a little bit of a opening to a thought. Okay, so what you're going to see is there's many nafkaminas to this question of whether it's about Achila or about the respective mitzvos. Can you think of any? Right. So what might theoretically be a nafkamina? Right, what details could we question whether that would have an impact or not? One aspect would be whether the sukkah really is important for this mitzvah. Right, when it comes to Pesach, so it's less flexible because there's no circumstance under which we're having chametz on Pesach. I mentioned it does affect the question of whether we need an extra matzah or not, whether this is separate from mitzvah of matzah. But on Sukkot, theoretically, we might end up not eating in the Sukkot. Yes, sir?
As a Lefaskira, obviously, like, yeah, there's like circumstances like it's like really hot, or like one of those things where it's like raining like every single day and eating inside, but like that or is the mitzvah, meaning that is like that is what the mitzvah is of Sukkot. Like, yeah, there's like yantar, but then it has like this thing of like you have to eat the sukkah for like your yontif meals.
But maybe that's just midinei sukkah, not midinei this din. And maybe tezvav is about yontif and not about sukkahs. So it's going to have major implications because let's say it's raining.
We could just say by every holiday there's like every yontif requires you to have a meal. Meaning like Pesach requires you to have a meal. Like Sukkot requires it, Shavuos requires it, and then like each holiday there's this different like niche or whatever, and different like halakhas that come from that. But all of them have like this overarching thing that like requires you to have a yontif meal. Now by Sukkot you have to eat in the sukkah. By yontif,
right. So that's our question. So which is it? Is it that, or is it that does a mitzvah specifically to do these ideas of matzah and sukkah? So what nafkamina could be, let's say, to focus on Sukkot for a minute. So what happens if it's raining on this first night of Sukkot? Right, so we could see three possibilities, and this we'll have to expand on tomorrow. One possibility is the Sukkot is not really so relevant. So if it's raining and you can't eat in the Sukkot, okay, eating in the house is no worse. You're missing out on the Sukkot, but the Sukkot is not what it's about. It's about a meal on Sukkos, not in Sukkos. So if you have the meal then inside your house, it could be that as far as Tezvav is concerned, you are completely in fulfillment. Or there could be two other possibilities. It could be no, it is about Sukkah. So if it is about Sukkah, what happens if it's raining? So there's two ways to approach it. Either we could say, sorry, but bring out the raincoat because you're going to have a soggy kezias. Or we could say, no, it's not shaykh for you to do that, but lemaisa, that's what the requirement is. So you're an onus, essentially. It's impossible for you to fulfill this, but that is what the mitzvah would be. Right, so we're going to have to see tomorrow, halacha lemaisa, there are at least three angles to that question. Either that the meal inside is fine, or that the meal has to be in the rain, or that the meal really has to be in the sukkah, but you just can't do it in the rain. Now, there are other details that also get affected. So is it a measurement issue? So you'll see if you haven't seen today, so I'll give you a little bit more to look at tomorrow, but you should look at the Ran over here. That's going to talk about whether it's possible that the Sudas Yontif by itself wouldn't necessarily have required a sukkah because of our previous sukkah. Right? That if you can have less than a kibetza outside of the sukkah, and the Sudas Yontif requires a kezias, so maybe theoretically you could have the Yontif Suda without the sukkah. Maybe. Or if the mitzvah of Kesvav Tezvav is about a kezias. And there are other details which some fascinating possible relationships between the two. Just throw out some more and you'll see some more sources about this. Is there a problem with egg challah on Sukkot night? Do you connect it to matzah in that way? Is there a similar time limitation? Right, on Pesach night we have to finish before Chatzos. Do we have to wait before starting until it's dark? Does that apply to Sukkot also? So a lot of these details are going to be relevant. And the first point, essentially, of Mitzdar, is Mitzdar relevant to this mitzvah? Because Mitzdar is presumably a Sukkot issue. So Be'ez Hashem, we will try to fill in all of these tomorrow. I wish you a wonderful day. The only good things.